Praise the Lord. This morning, by the grace of God, we want to start a new series. Sometimes we assume that we know some stuff. But then the truth of the matter is, we need teaching in these areas. There were many things the disciples did not know until Jesus began to teach them. He spoke them in the open to so many people. And those people he spoke it to did not even understand it. And the disciples themselves did not understand until they came to him and said, "Master, what are you talking about?" Then he began to expatiate the truth to them. So I'm going to start a teaching today, and I'm going to take my time. I don't know how many weeks this is going to last. It's going to encompass a lot of the aspects of what I believe God wants you and I to understand when it comes to his prosperity plan. Hallelujah. I know, prosperity is a subject that has been bastardized, but it doesn't mean that it's not the truth. Praise the Lord. So, my title is God's Prosperity Plan for His Children. God's Prosperity Plan for His Children. I'm going to have a lot of scriptures to read. And I'm starting with, because the proof is in the Word of God, not the word I say, but it's in the Word of God. And I normally always say something, if I can show you in the Bible, then you can't deny it. Praise the Lord. I can't deny it either. Hallelujah. Psalm 35, verse 27. Psalm 35, verse 27. It says, "Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause." People that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, "Let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant." What does this say to you? It says God wants you to prosper. Did I hear an amen? Amen. Come on now. God wants you to prosper. God wants me to prosper. God has pleasure in the prosperity of his servants, in the prosperity of his children. God has an infallible plan to prosper all his children. A plan is something you do to get to where you want to be in life or to become what you desire to be. Everybody must have a plan. A plan to go to school. A plan to graduate with flying colors. In that plan, you know you have to study. Hallelujah. You have to write exams. And you have to pass your exams. Like I was saying to my students yesterday night, a master degree class chastised them a lot, acting like babies. I said, "And you people are supposed to be a master degree class. You don't want to do assignments? You're supposed to have assignments every day." Hallelujah. You want the diploma. You have to do the work. You must have a plan. Every family must have a plan. But the truth of the matter is, your plan must not be outside the plan of God. Let me say this ahead and think about it. Whatever you have today, whatever you have in your home, whatever you have in your life is a harvest. Pastor, what are you talking about? I mean, you did something to get what you have. Am I right? You did something to be where you are today. Am I right?
Or possibly you didn't do what you are supposed to do. That's why you are still where you are. Am I right? Whatever your status in life may be, and all your possession is a harvest. It's a harvest. This church is a harvest. A harvest of faith. A lot of Christians, and believe me, I've experienced it many times. A lot of Christians have financial instabilities. Today we have, tomorrow we don't have. And then for a long period of time we don't have. And then we begin to have, and suddenly we don't have again. That's not the plan of God. God wants us to be consistently blessed. God wants you to be consistently blessed. And financial instabilities are because of refusal to follow God's plan. To follow God's plan for living. If you don't understand God's way of blessing and maintaining what you are blessed with, you will always face financial challenges. Some people don't want it. They don't want to know it. Like I've said time and time again, the problem of money is not how much my paycheck is. The problem of money is how I spend my paycheck. I've spoken to somebody before who was arguing with me and said, well, I'm a financial analyst. I know about money. I say, you don't, because you don't have it. Because you're an accountant doesn't mean you know money. You can count other people's money, but where is yours? Brethren, there are several evidences which I'm going to show you this morning in the Word of God that He wants you to prosper. He wants us as His children to prosper. It's about time that our financial status is elevated. Hallelujah. It's about time. He says in 3 John 1 and 2, 3 John chapter 1 verse 2, beloved, I wish above all things. What do you wish? That you may prosper and be in health. The issue of health is also a lifestyle. Amen? I mean, what happened to me recently made me realize more than at any other time that, hey, bro, you got to change your lifestyle. You got to change what you eat. And when you eat, my wife and I were still discussing when she gives me food. Before, when she gives me food, she gives me little quantity. And I'm like, hello? What did I do? Since morning, this one, I don't argue again. But now my stomach is smaller. The quantity that I can eat, I'm telling you the truth, is smaller, and I like it like that. Now I sleep better. I wake up stronger. Hallelujah. It's a lifestyle. I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your thinking prospers, as your mind prospers. Let's say, for example, let's take some examples. Look at Adam. Adam was placed in the garden. What kind of garden was Adam placed in? He was placed in a garden of abundance. And all he had to do was to maintain that garden of abundance with his obedience. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 8 to 12, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put the man whom he had formed, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first, Pison, that is it which compassed the whole land of Avila, where there is gold. Who put the gold there? God put the gold there. And it was not ordinary gold. He said, and the gold of that land is what? Good gold. Everything God makes is good. There was delium, an onyx stone, and all manners of good. Then let's flip to Abraham. God gave Abraham a promise of blessing, a promise to make him a blessing and to make his name great. Genesis 12, 1 and 2. Now the Lord said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country. That is the proviso. At that time, get out of your country and from your kindred and from your father's house unto the land which I will show you. That was God's commandment to Abraham at that time. And he said what? If you do that, I will make thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Why? Just do what I tell you. You will get what I promised you. And that's something I drum in my son's ears every day. Just obey. If your mom or I say, read a book, don't start from chapter 4. Start from chapter 1. Because we are going to ask you, what did you read? If you obey, then you will have this. If not, you know, usually they like their iPads and stuff. Oh, they don't like it to be taken away. So just collect it and get it up somewhere they can see it. If you do what I tell you, then you have an opportunity to have that. That's the way it is. Some of us will look at it, it's a punishment. No, it's not a punishment. It's a training for life. Hallelujah. God is no respecter of persons. Acts 10, 34 and 35. And Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Obedience to God's word, obedience in giving wholeheartedly was key in the lives of those whom God has blessed. When I say wholeheartedly, do you know somebody can give you something and their heart is not really giving it? Huh? Their heart is not letting it go. It's like their heart is still holding on to it, but you have left. In the morning, they'll be looking for that thing they gave you. How did you give somebody something and then you are looking for it? Because your heart didn't let it go. Wholeheartedly means I have parted with it. I have given it with joy. Deuteronomy 8:18 says, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. It is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant. So when God blesses you, he's blessing you for a reason. He's not blessing you so that you can consume it on your own lust. He's blessing you so that part of that blessing can be used for the advancement of the kingdom of God, so that he can establish his covenant, which is swear unto thy fathers, as it is this day. It hasn't changed. Deuteronomy 29 and verse 9. It says, keep therefore the words of this covenant and do them. Why? Come on, church. Why? That ye may prosper in all you do. Keep the words of the covenant so that you can prosper. Obey the word of God so that his blessing can be pronounced and activated in your life. I'm just telling you God's plan. I don't know if you have your own plan, but this is God's plan. And this is the plan I follow. Proverbs 8, 17 and 18 and 21. He says, I love them that love me. That's wisdom speaking. I love them that love me. That's God speaking. I love those who love me. You see, this love is not the generalized love. This is a special choosing love. And those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me. Yea, durable riches and righteousness, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. Jesus said, if ye love me, do what? Obey my commandments. You see, sometimes when the issue of prosperity, God's way, or the issue of finances is being talked about, quickly, a lot of people think in their mind, oh, now it's a gimmick to get money from us. Maybe somewhere else. Not here. Not in Wisdom Assembly. God has given me the responsibility to teach you so that you can become matured Christians. We may not have quantity, but we must be quality. We must be substance in ourselves. God doesn't spend money. Have you not thought about it? God doesn't spend money. He said, if I was hungry, do you think I'm going to come and ask you? What can you feed God with? He says, the cattle on a thousand hill belongs to me. If I was hungry, I would kill all of them and eat and be satisfied. He said, the gold is his own. The silver belongs to him. I've told us time and time, money is a test. Money is a test. Have you not noticed? Jesus said, you can't serve God and what? Mammon is the spirit of money. See, you can't. That's the only thing God equates himself with. Because it's either you are serving God or you are serving money. And there are some people, there is nothing they won't do because of money. Some women sell their body because of money, isn't it? Some carry gun to go and rob others. because of money, isn't it? Some use their pen to forge signatures, isn't it? Because of money. Some take a nation's money, like 100 million, 90 something point something million, and put it in their safe, in the house where they don't live. How can somebody in a nation of 170 million people, you alone stole $90 billion and they said the nation is poor? By calculation, they said, if you convert that money to Naira, every Nigerian, excuse me, I'm just saying Nigerians. Every Nigerian will get at least 148 million each. But somebody now sat on that. And will now say it is his own. A president's wife says the money they seized from her, about 40 million, is her own. And she will take them to court. How did you earn it? You see, you can get money anyhow. But you need God's blessings to enjoy it. Our father in the Lord said something about one of his friends who had so much money. He couldn't eat. Know what his food is? Milk. Morning, noon, and night. That is food. May I not have that kind of money? Not to be able to eat chicken a la carte. Oh, bono. Ah. Sorry. Ah. Can't even say, okay, grind the fish. Oh, my God. Amen. It's important that as children of God, the onus is on us to act out the word of God. Act it out. We can't be like the world. The world is greedy. Greediness must not be in the church. Every day I think of ways I can be a blessing. With the much that God has blessed us with. Recently, I had to make a contact with Compassion USA. So, you know what? I want to go to visit all these underprivileged children. I want to see them. And I want to be a blessing. In whichever way. I didn't discuss with my wife. We didn't have a meeting about it. Because I don't need any suggestion of whether I should do it or not do it. There was a day a young girl, the only child of her mother, needed help. I was telling my wife, and the woman was this is a woman who was selling plantain by the roadside. And I was not in a position to help that girl. My heart was broken. I began to cry. If only I can find a way to at least assist this girl. This is a young girl, a 15-year-old girl. So that she can have a life. Ah, you don't imagine. You can't imagine. You can't imagine the feeling. Can't imagine the feeling. We must act out the word of God intentionally. Because God gave it to us intentionally to produce something. You know, every year, Wisdom Assembly, we give our first fruit. And this year, it was difficult. I shared it with some people. I had no rest in my heart. I had no peace in my heart. Until we did it, then some level of confidence rose up within me. That, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That this burden is lifted. Not because anybody is going to come and question me. But hey, I don't want to be the one to withhold the blessing that God will bring over this ministry. Obedience to God brings God to your side. Giving in the name of the Lord brings God into your finances. I want you to make a calculation of the money you spent throughout last year. The money that came into your hand throughout last year. How much of it is attached to the kingdom of God? How much of it is attached to things you can't point to anymore? How much of it went to waste? If that spending, if the kingdom does not trump the spending, there's a problem. I can boldly beat my chest, and it's not out of pride. Last year, the amount of money that my wife and I gave to this ministry with our name attached to it is nothing compared to the one we gave with our name not attached to it. Deliberately.
Our accountant is here. When she gave me our giving last year,
so very, very big amount of money.
I'm telling you, I just laughed. And I sent her an email. I said, I know that this is not an accurate figure of what we gave, but it's okay.
Listen, church. When we stop or we find a reason not to give to advance God's kingdom, I tell you not the lie. I tell you not a lie. I tell you the truth. We begin to die. Without knowing it. Many of us don't know that how we spend our money can stop us from making heaven or making it to heaven.
I have an analogy for us. I've shared this analogy before, but I'm going to share it in a different way.
Think about plants. Plants that gives us oxygen, right?
That's why in America they don't cut down trees anyhow.
Let's say one plant among many says, you know what? Those human beings, I don't like them. I'm not going to give them oxygen. I'm going to withhold it. Please help me. Tell me, what will happen to that plant? Hello? What will happen?
That plant will die.
Because it can't withhold the oxygen. In the process of withholding the oxygen, it can't receive carbon dioxide. And then one brother now said, you know what? I don't even like that flower. All these plants, I don't like them. I prefer the plastic one. I'm not going to breathe out for them to give them oxygen. What will happen to that brother? You know, the plant, it may not show immediately that it's dying. But after a while, the color starts changing, right? But from the moment it withheld the oxygen, it began to die. The moment you withhold your carbon dioxide and say, no, I'm not giving anybody this one. This one is mine. Nobody will beg you to breathe out. Because you start dying right away. Your organs begin to shut down. That's the same way with giving. You think, oh, I'm so smart. In the process of this teaching, I'm going to teach us some basic accounting. I'm not an accountant, but accounting God's way, which will work anywhere. And it's a practice that we practice in our home. I sat my wife down. Say, there's a new sheriff in town. Thank God I have a wife that will always agree with me. I just pray, God, please don't let me mislead this woman. You know, that this is how we are going to spend our money. This is what we are going to do. This is how we are going to save. This is what we are going to invest. This is what, and part of our investment is not just investment outside. Kingdom investment. Because whatever we give in church, whatever we give for the kingdom is an investment. You see, if you go back to the book of Genesis from chapter 1, so clear. Verse 11, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb, yielding what? Yielding what? Every plant, God created them with what? With seed. Maybe you don't believe. And the fruit tree, yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself. Because without the seed, those plants, those fruit trees, cannot reproduce themselves. Seed sowing is essential to living. God's way is essential. Some of us save, and our savings are in the stores. They are doing 40% off, extra 30 off. Ah, saving. That is not saving, that's shaving. That's not saving. Because at the end of the thing, at the end of the day, your mind will change after a while about the thing you shaved on. And that thing has not changed. I got to a point, I said, you know what? I'm not buying anything. Even though when I said I'm not buying anything, people still bless me with things. It got to a point, I told my guys, don't buy me anything. Don't give me shit. Give me the money. All the ones I have, to be honest with you, it has become headache for me because I don't have places to put them. And I'm not kidding you. I'm even fed up of them. I'm tired of seeing them. I want somebody to come and carry them. Because the more I look at them, it's like I can't breathe. I'm telling you the truth.
So if you wear my size, come. I'm giving you open invitation. If you don't know where I live, find it. Amen.
In every fruit, God has placed seed for his reproduction. Think about it.
If we put an apple tree here, the possibility of counting the apples on the tree is very high. But when you open that apple up, you can't count how many apples will be in the seed. Is that true? You can't count the potential of a seed.
And it would only be a potential
until it is sown in the right soil. It's important that we imitate God. The nature of God is giving. God so loved, he gave. Some people have kept so much money in their lives that they suddenly died. And was somebody else who spent the money. The man who died and put the key of his safe in his mouth on the viewing day, they saw that one cheek is swollen. They check, it was key. His children realized, this is the key to the safe we have been looking for. The man wanted to take the key to heaven. Or you see some people, they bury them with car. Go and ride car in hell. Or they bury them with so much gold. Bling, bling, all over. In the night, some people will go there, break it up. And carry the gold and kick the lifeless body. Let's imitate God. The Bible says in Proverbs 3, verse 9 to 10, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of thy increase. Over the course of this teaching, I'm going to talk about first fruit. I'm going to talk about different kinds of offerings. I'm going to talk about the tithe to remind us again. The last time I taught on tithe, somebody felt uncomfortable and left the church. Does it move me? No. Only pity them. Except they don't go to a place where they teach the truth. The same thing I said will be repeated. So they have to be bouncing all over.
Honor the Lord with thy substance. And with the first fruit of all thy increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty. See, where we have a problem and where I have a problem is, sometimes we think those promises will just happen immediately I do this. It may not. It may be a while. Depending on what your expectations are. If you want mushroom blessing, fine. But if you want the one you can always go back to year after year, year after year, patience is required. Because as there is a law of nature, there's a spiritual law that guides the promises of God. So it's important that we see the vital exigencies of whatever, of what God can do with our seed. If not, you won't be ready to release the potential of what is in your hand. In closing, when Jesus came to preach, he preached, repent, for the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He came to preach a new lifestyle. God is calling you and I to a different lifestyle, a kingdom lifestyle, a godly lifestyle. Why? So that all he has in store for you can be released. Paul said to the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians 9, 5 to 7, therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty, and not of covetousness. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. If you are a stingy sower, you will get back in a stingy way. And he which soweth bountifully, that is with a gracious heart, shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart. So let him give, not grudgingly, of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver. I'm challenging somebody today. Open your heart. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. Let the Holy Spirit minister to you. Let it guide you into God's truth. Every opportunity you have, sow in obedience. Let's not sow to show off, even when we do. Let God be the one to take the record of what you are sowing. In obedience. Not just with obedience, but with expectation of a blessing. That is why there are rules and regulations after sowing. When you are in expectation, stop saying what others are saying. Say what God is saying. Don't let your mouth kill your seed. Don't let your mouth kill the potential of your seed. Job 22:29 says, when men are cast down, what should you say? There's a lifting up, and he shall save the humble person. God is more than able. God is more than able, brethren. I'm a testimony to what I'm telling you. God is more than able. Amen? Touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, God wants to bless you. God wants to prosper you so that his kingdom and your children's children can be blessed. He said in Matthew 6:33, my final scripture, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek the kingdom first. Let God be first. Every other thing will be added. It won't be too late. It will be at the right time. Some people don't know that. You want to get married. You can sow a seed. for God to present your wife. Amen. So that when you are sowing your seed, Lord, this is for my wife. And peradventure, you might even have a name. You know, this is for Moriola. Bam. Bam. One day, that wife was strolling. Amen. You will just go and meet in an awkward situation, maybe by the door. That's when the light will just shine. And your eye will open. Oh, wow. Bone of my bone. And she too will be biting her light. And she knows in her heart. And bam. It has happened. You sow towards things you want. Things you need. I shared the story of a medical doctor before. She was over 50 years old. I just finished preaching in their church. I told them to sow for what they want. So I met her in the corridor after the message. I mean, well-to-do woman. I said, Pastor, please pray for me. I said, what's said, I'm believing God for a husband. Said, I'm 50. You can see the evidence. She has a low cut. Evidence of white hair all over. Said, I'm believing God for a husband. And I heard what you said. So I joined my hand and faith with her in that corridor. And I prayed with her. That when next I come back to this church, you will have been married. Lo and behold, one day, I received a wedding invitation. I didn't even know who it was. I just pushed it aside. Until when I went back, she now came to me and said, Pastor, I am married. This is my husband. So when I prayed for her, I said, make sure that you invite me for your wedding. And I said, and you didn't invite me? She said, I sent you an invitation. I said, what's your name? I didn't even know. I said, I received, but I didn't know who it was. So I'm like, are people soliciting for guests for their wedding? That's how she got married. Said the guy walked into the church, and this guy couldn't take his eyes off her. She was an usher. That's how it happened. That's how it happened.